Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
For now, insha'Allah, we will conclude with our program Biladul Muslimin, which is presented by Brother Abu Bakr Sidat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Abu Bakr Sidat.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ji Mawlana. We pray that you are well, and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jamaah, are also within the same loop of goodness. Gee, with the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we begin. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Jazallah, Anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bima wa aluhu. Gee, Mawlana, with the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us an opportunity this morning to present our program. Over the last few programs, we dealt with four different issues. The end of history, democratic Islam, the clash of civilizations, and the Abraham Accords. This morning, alhamdulillah, through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we visit our first country, and we are going to Afghanistan. Must pray that Allah ta'ala make it easy for the people of Afghanistan, because the weather there has created a lot of floods there, and a lot of people have been displaced. Many people injured, over 50 were killed in the floods also. The land and the people of Afghanistan are an enigma for many people, not only the Western world, but also Muslims have difficulty in fathoming the mindset and the sociological dynamics that engulf the people and the land. Under the Taliban, it was known as the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan, or Dawlatul Islam in Afghanistan. The capital of this country is Kabul, the largest city. It is situated in southwestern Asia. This landlocked country has great mountains, searing deserts, valleys that are fertile, and rolling plains. It is bordered in the north by the former territories of the defunct Soviet Union, that is Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan. A small area of about 76 kilometers of China borders Afghanistan in the northwestern sector, while Pakistan makes up the major southeastern border and Iran constitute the western frontier. The land of Afghanistan is one of the least developed countries in the world, yet its potential and resources make it the most sought-after area of influence by the materialist-oriented multinational corporations and governments espousing the New World Order. It straddles the famous Silk Route between China, India, and the Middle East and Europe. The common bond of the people of this rugged land is Islam. Though divisions along cultural and ethnic lines have been emphasized to create clefts in the unity, the major ethnic groups from about 20 include the Pashtuns, who lived in the southeastern region along the Pakistani border and share the northwest frontier province with it, with the Tajiks, who lived in the central and northeastern Afghanistan. These two groups make up about 80% of the population of Afghanistan. The population of Afghanistan is about 40 million. Yet sadly, like in Palestine, the people's lives have been devastated by the incessant and rampant pillage of this land by the superpowers of this world. Many in the millions are refugees in either Pakistan or Iran, some more than 10 million. Two official languages of the land are Pashto and Dari. The Wakhan Corridor forms the part of the majestic Hindu Kush mountain range, and these are situated along the Pakistani border in the east, and the highest peak is the Naushad, which rises about 7,500 meters into the sky. In the Hindu Kush is the now famous Tora Bora Mountains, where the imperialist USA and its surrogates under the Taliban and Osama bin Laden, Marhum Rahmatullah Alayh. The range descends to the rolling plains in the southwest, where most of the population live along the narrow valleys of these majestic mountains. In terms of modern economies, the economy of Afghanistan is based mainly on agriculture, wherein 85% of the population is involved. The drought and the wars have devastated the sector, with the mining of canals, irrigation systems, and fertile land. The main crops are wheat, barley, corn, cotton, fruit, and nuts. The livestock industry is pursued by the semi-nomadic population, engaged in mutton, wool, hides, and skin of the caracal sheep. Many minerals that are found in Afghanistan are largely unexploited, and these are the source of Afghanistan's major upheavals over the last century. Afghanistan has large resources of natural gas and petroleum, and with its geostrategic situation, it is being sought by the multinationals to exploit. More about this later in the program. The country has gold, copper, and coal in huge quantities, while its mountain ranges and some areas are virtually studded with precious stones in the form of amethyst, rubies, and the famous lapis lazuli. This is an azure blue mineral which is sometimes called a lazurite. This stone was used by the Egyptians and the Romans to adorn their jewels. It is interesting to consider that some of the revenue for the financing of the war against the Soviets and the Americans and Russia derived from the sale of these precious stones that was exposed in the deep gorges in the ground by Russian missiles and American missiles. The rockets that were fired at seemingly large contingents of the Mujahideen soldiers, that is the Taliban, the enterprising Afghans are skillful craftsmen and are involved in the manufacture of leather goods, gold and silver jewelry, rugs and handicraft items. The Khyber Pass is the famous trade route on the Pakistani side of the border. Afghans in the north are skilled horsemen and hunters and engage in rugged sports such as bushkashi, wherein horsemen through skilled maneuvers carry a carcass of a headless calf across a gorge. Prior to the Taliban coming into power, the cultivation of the opium poppies was exploited by the various warlords to traffic drugs to finance their operations. This was banned during the Taliban interregnum, but regrettably has taken on once again in the aftermath of the installation of the U.S.-sponsored regime. The currency of the country is the Afghani, and it has been now graded by the financial homes as one of the best and strongest currencies in the world. In fact, many of the financial institutions regard the stability of the Afghan government and the Taliban contributing towards the stability of its currency also. Afghanistan has been reduced to an aid recipient country with the millions of refugees, the millions of land mines, and the food aid required just to ensure mere survival. Medical aid is also lacking, and basic health care is a nostalgic dream for many. The tragedy of this tragedy within a tragedy is conditions imposed by the Western aid agencies before delivering the aid to a destitute and famished Muslim community. It has not been easy for the Afghan people. Now we look at the history of Afghanistan. current history, we know that for the last 40 years in the modern era since the 1979-1980, with the invasion of the Soviet Union and then subsequently in 2001 by the United States of America, for 40 years, Afghanistan has been in this modern era under occupation. Afghanistan has been inhabited since the early times by nomadic hunters who engaged in agriculture and herding as they progressed through the centuries. The bloodshed and torment of the Afghan people had been the hallmark of its history as it has been in its contemporary existence. The Aryans invaded Afghanistan as early as 1500 CC. They massacred many of the indigenous inhabitants and were followed by the Persians who invaded the northern region, then called Bactria. Zoroastrianism was brought into Afghanistan about 530. During the glory days of the Achaemenid Empire, during the reigns of Cyrus and Darius the Great, respectively, satrapies known as provinces were established in Herat, Ghazni, Balkh, and Kabul. Alexander the Great of Macedonia invaded and captured most of Afghanistan around 330 CE when he defeated the Persians. It is of dual interest that though the Afghans resisted the occupation of the Persians, the Bactrians of Balkh fought against Alexander when he defeated the Persians. Alexander succeeded in expanding his control over various regions of Afghanistan, though his army was always harassed by the indigenous little kingdoms that abhorred their subjugation by the foreigners. In its early history, Afghanistan acquired prominence through it being utilized as a significant trade route, especially the Silk Route, for development of trade between China and the Roman Empire, and a secondary route through a place called Banwian. Remember the city, if not more about it later when we deal with the Taliban rule, Bagram and Jalalabad to India. The Kushan dynasty succeeded the Greeks and reigned for a short period when the Sassanians, the Persian Zoroastrian dynasty, reconquered Afghanistan and ruled over it from 222 to 624 AD. Although they did not exert full control, thus their reign was always on slippery ground. With the advent of Islam in Arabia in the late 6th century, the inevitable encounters between Islam and the Roman, Byzantine, and Persian empires resulted in the expansion of Islam to southeastern Asia during the Umayyad period. During the rule of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu from 660 to 680, 20 years, a Muslim force under Muhalla bin Abu Sufra conquered Kabul in 670 AD. In early 702, the seeds of discontent in the Umayyad dynasty were being sown, and intrigue and the urge for power had reduced the scene in Damascus to survival of the fittest. In far-off Afghanistan, the treachery of the elite under Ruddil saw the ambush and massacre of three Muslim forces at the hands of the shrewd ruler of Kabul. In the 10th century, the Ghaznavid dynasty took control of Afghanistan and extended to India, and it was during this period, that is from 977 to 1186, that saw a significant reversion of Hindus to Islam. The capital of this dynasty, Ghazni, became a center for the promotion of culture and intellectual pursuits. Sadly, this dynasty was also destroyed, as were so many others, with the Mongolian invasion of Genghis Khan. The country was once again fragmented because of the ravages wrought by the Mongolian hordes. attempts at unifying Afghanistan were undertaken by Tamerlane, that is Timur, or known in Islamic history as the Timur dynasty. Timur was of Turco-Mongolian descent and devotedly espoused Islam in all the territories he conquered. Under this dynasty, architecture prospered, and the patronization of the arts and other ancient structures culminated in the construction of the Juma Masjid in Herat. This empire came to an end in 1506. The successors, the Mughals, and the Safavid Empire split Afghanistan between themselves. Babur, the founder of the Mughal Empire, hailed from Afghanistan. He occupied Kabul in 1504. However, the control of Kandahar was never certain as it vacillated between the two dynasties. It was only in 1719 that the indigenous Afghan Mir Muhammad and his cousin Ashraf in 1727, exerted some form of control over the country. The Safavids under Nadir Shah exerted control once again in the early 18th century, and after his assassination, Ahmad Shah Durrani rose on behalf of the Abdali tribe in 1747 to take control of Kandahar. I'm just getting my bearings right here, Maulana. When Ahmad Shah Durrani took control of Kandahar, Herat, Ghazni, and Peshawar, his agreement to specify control and set boundaries to their regions with the Amir of Bukhara resulted in the Amir presenting him with the cloak. This is very interesting, Maulana. A cloak said to have been worn by Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whereupon Ahmad Shah had a mosque constructed, especially in Kandahar, to house the garment. It was to take 200 years later for Muhammad Umar rahmatullah alayhi to hold up this cloak before the assembly of Muslims in Kandahar. Ahmad Shah was succeeded by his son, Timur Shah. His 20 years rule was plagued by the loss of vast areas of local fiefdoms, and after 1793 saw the advent of the Russians and the British and the quest for influence in the regions. In 1837, the British Governor General Lord Auckland sent a delegation to Dost Muhammad to enter into a peace agreement with the Sikh ruler Ranjit Singh, with whom there was no love lost. As these talks were taking place, the Russians, in consort with the Persians, laid siege to Herat. A stalemate situation was reached with both the Russians and the British. The British, however, resorted to ensure that Russian influence was minimal. In fact, this is the case with all the empires that tried to invade Afghanistan, and it is known as the graveyard of empires. The Roman, the Persians, the British, and the Russians, and finally the Americans, were all had to eat the dust of Afghanistan and leave that country without But the harm that they caused to the Afghani people is just unimaginable. British involvement in Afghanistan was pursued by Lord Auckland when in 1839 British and Indian troops entered Afghanistan and settled in as colonialists and imperialists in Kandahar, Kabul, and Ghazni. They did not contend or consider the enigma that was Afghanistan. Within 2 years, they conceded power to Dost Muhammad as ruler of Kabul. The tragedy of the retreat without any escort, though a safe passage was promised, resulted in the loss of thousands of lives in the snow through exposure. The British were livid at this loss. though the Afghans had been honorable in conduct in seeking revenge, which we have seen since after 9/11 also, the British invaded Kabul and killed many Afghans. Dost Mohammad consolidated his power base when in 1863 he was succeeded by his son, Sher Ali Khan, whose rule was precarious in that the brothers sought to unseat him. It was during the period in 1879 that the Russian annexed the Central Asian Khanates of Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan. The northern border of Afghanistan was also confirmed under an agreement between Russia and Britain. Under British pressure, the Russians also agreed to the division of British India and Russia with a corridor of land known as the Wakhan Corridor in the northeastern Afghanistan. The annexation of the Central Asian Khanates was of concern to Sher Ali Khan and sought the assistance of Britain to stem Russian influence. Britain, however, saw the gap to gain a foothold in Kabul at the expense of the Russians and requested to station a garrison there. This request was turned down, but despite the refusal, both Russia and Britain sent missions to Kabul. When the British mission's progress to Kabul was halted, Britain sent an invasion to Afghanistan. This was the first British invasion. Sher Ali sought the support of the Tsar of Russia in this invasion, but regrettably died in Perth and was succeeded by his son, Yakub Khan. At the Treaty of Gandamak, Yakub conceded to Britain the control of Afghanistan's foreign affairs and stationing the British representative in Kabul. The second British invasion was prompted when a British representative was assassinated and General Roberts effectively took control of Kabul. Abdurrahman Khan, a nephew of Sher Ali, challenged the British occupation and received recognition as the leader of the Afghan people. Gladstone's government also decided to withdraw British troops from Afghanistan. It was during the rule of Abdurrahman that agreement was reached to delineate the frontiers from British India and Afghanistan with the Durand Line. Like we know what has happened throughout Africa at the time of the delineation of nation states, that the colonial powers just drew straight lines and delineated the territories for the different countries, and this they did with Afghanistan also. As a result of the creation of the Durand Line, what has happened is half the population of the Pashtuns is in Afghanistan, and a very large majority is still occupying Pakistan. So this is the Durand Line. This line effectively cut the Pashtun in half between Afghanistan and British India. The separation and drawing up of borders has been the hallmark of British Empire in that cultural, ethnic and religious considerations were ignored. It happened with Kashmir in India, Palestine in the Middle East, and many countries in Africa too. Habibullah ascended to the leadership after the death of his father Abdurrahman in 1901. Afghanistan maintained its neutrality during the First World War. In 1919, Habibullah was assassinated and his son Amanullah took the reins of power. He declared war on Britain and the consequent Treaty of Rawalpindi in 1919 granted full independence to Afghanistan. Independence had two consequences. One, the government sought closer relations with Russia, and two, it became a source of pride for the country in not allowing a superpower to colonize it. Amanullah's reign was fraught with efforts to modernize the country and armed revolts by the Pashtun tribes against his policies. He was overthrown by Habibullah II, a Tajik, who ruled only for 9 months and was replaced by Muhammad Nadir Khan. In 1930, a lawyer Jirga was convened of all tribal leaders, and Nadir Khan was confirmed as king, and Sharia was endorsed in the Hanafi school of jurisprudence. Inshallah, Mawlana, we have now come to the end of our program. We hope to continue with the history of Afghanistan in the modern area in the 20th century and the 21st century. To you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.